Hey there, this is the His Beloved podcast with Kendra Bartlett and Megan Copeland, and we are so glad you are here. Hello, friends.
Hi, friends. It's been a very long time.
It has. We were thinking about it. How long has it been?
Since like January.
January, I think.
Yeah, maybe even December, because we just ended our last
season,
right?
Right. So we ended here, and then we did our Girls Arise for a few months.
Right.
And then we just took a break for summer because...
Yeah, we need to.
Because we cannot record a podcast when there are children in the house.
No.
It just does not happen. Like, I don't know how people do that. We can't make that happen. Just because also we're just too busy. Like, there's just no time.
Yeah.
But now, the kids are at school.
I know. I had a really hard time adjusting. I was like... mourning the loss of my kids to school for a few days, getting used to the silence and the quiet, but now I'm like, yay.
I still miss mine too. But when preschool started, I was like, okay,
let's do that. Seriously, that's a real deal.
When it was just Tessa home by herself, I was like, these are the longest days of my life.
And we only had, what, 3 days?
Three very long days.
Yes, I know.
Anyways, the girls were so excited to go to school this morning. They were like, I love school. Tessa good. And Stella, they were so cute.
Oh, our girls,
Stella was too. She was like, I love it too. And I was good. Y'all go have fun. We got things to do. Anyways, so we decided on our, like, welcome back podcast that we would just do some, like, catching up.
Yeah.
Like, how's life going? And so we have some little questions we're just going to ask each other.
Yeah.
About... the last few months when we haven't seen you guys.
Yeah.
So
hopefully some of it will resonate with you, and it'd be fun to hear your stories too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We were talking about with our podcast guest the other day who also hosts a podcast, like, it's hard because we never get to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Like, we don't see the looks on your faces. We don't hear, like, the aha moments of, like, oh, the Lord touched my heart. So if you ever want to share that with us.
Or even the moments that are like, ugh, they're talking about that again.
I know. Or I end up, like, yelling at podcasts sometimes when they're, like, trying to think of something, and I'm like, the answer is blah, blah, blah. And I talk back to podcasts all the time. So if you do that, I wish we could hear you. Okay.
That's
so I lost my list. Where'd my list go? There it is.
You want me to tell you number one?
Okay, I'm going to ask you and you answer. Okay.
Deal.
Tell me something fun that happened to you or your family.
Okay. So this summer we were able and blessed to go on two big road trips, which is really fun. The first one, we went with my parents, my dad retired, and my sister and her family, and we all went to Tennessee for 2 weeks. And in Tennessee, gosh, it's just gorgeous. There was a moment at Mass whenever I was like, Lord Jesus, please speak to my husband right now. If you want us to move here, speak to him in this missionary. Because, you know, it's in the Bible Belt and Catholic churches there are tiny. And I was like, if you have a missional call for us here, I will be willing. But you're going to have to knock my husband over the head. Didn't happen. We're here. I don't know that I'd be able to go anyway. But just in the moment, just being in the Smokies, it was absolutely gorgeous. But we had so many encounters with bears. And oh my word, they are adorable. And it's a shame that if you try to hug them, they would tear you to pieces.
Yeah, you can't get that close.
I went to hug them so bad. But they were black bears. And so they weren't the huge grizzly ones. They were little black bears. And there were a couple moments. So my two favorite bear spottings. One of them, we were driving through the mountains, I guess. And the trees were right outside our window. And the kids yelled, there's a bear. And so my dad, who's driving, like, stomps on the brakes, comes to a screeching halt, and it was a mama bear and two cubs. And the minute that we stopped, the mama bear, like, growled, and the babies shot up the trees.
Oh my goodness.
It was crazy. Like, they just shimmy all the way up the top, and they just stared at us. And we were like, oh my gosh, y'all are so cute. So we stayed there for a little while, and then we could tell they were getting agitated.
The growling mama bear would have been
right. And then another time, we were at this place called Anakista, and it's at the top of a mountain in Gatlinburg. And very touristy, right? There's railings and stuff. So we're standing on the railing. We had just gotten off one of those mountain coaster things, which are so much fun. And I see the trees rustling, and I was like, guys, the trees are moving. I think there's a bear coming. And there was a mama bear that walked out. And then I was like, oh gosh, please be babies. And there were three baby cubs that followed her, and they were so stinking precious. And they started wrestling each other. And, you know, like those videos of, like, the baby cubs just being, you know, totally clumsy and like falling over on their backs. And it was so cute. I loved it so much.
That's precious.
So love the bears. That was incredibly fun. And the other fun part of it was the fact that our oldest can help drive. Like, that was a game changer. Road trip to Tennessee. I'm impressed
that she can do that.
Road trip to Colorado. And even though she can't do long stretches yet, even just an hour, I think she got up to doing, she did about an hour and a half stint once or twice. But there were a couple times where, because we have a 15 passenger van.
Yeah.
I staked my claim over the last row and I laid down and slept. It was amazing. It was awesome. A game changer.
Don't you normally drive like most of the trips though because you get sick?
I usually either, I always sit up front.
Yeah.
Chris and I just, every potty stop we trade. That's kind of our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now we have another one in the
mix. Chad won't let me drive at all.
Oh, really?
He like can't sit in the passenger seat or something.
That's so funny. I can see that. He's kind of a man on a mission.
Yeah, like he gets nauseous, I think, in the passenger seat. Uh-huh. But when we were coming out of Colorado, I was about to die.
Oh my God. I had to drive the mountains.
Oh my gosh. It was bad. I couldn't have driven it though. Yeah. I would have been terrified.
Yeah. I have to drive the mountains.
That's
fun. What about you?
Well, we went to Colorado.
Yes.
That was fun.
That was fun.
And we went back to the same summer camp that we went to last year. And last year there was like 5 or 6 families from Austin that were there. This year there was 9.
Yes.
And so we grabbed a couple extra families and brought them with us. And that was just, it was just a fun, restful family time.
Yeah.
My 14-year-old kept saying, we need to do stuff like this more often. Like, she was just so happy with like having time together and prayer together. And that was really sweet. But my favorite part of the whole trip was the last full day, I guess, they did a volleyball tournament.
Oh.
And Kendra killed it. So Kendra and then our friend Emily both played Division I volleyball. And they're both amazing still. And Emily were like walking by the basketball court. And she like jumps up and like alley-ooped this ball, right? And we were like, what the heck? Who are you? You are a mom of children. Like, how can your body still move like that? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And so last year when we were at camp, they played old people versus the staffers who were like, some of them current college players. Like that one guy was still on a team. Wasn't there a girl who was playing too, maybe? Yeah, like still in their prime.
Yeah.
And they're really good. And so last year, our old people beat them. So they were like coming back for the rematch. And it was intense volleyball. Like I have never seen something like it. And a couple of men, Chris was on the team, and then a couple other like really tall guys who were just like stuffing the ball in people's faces. Like it was amazing. The old people didn't win. What was y'all's name this year? It was great.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember.
What was it? It was like something about being old. Too old for this?
Yes.
That was a team name.
Too old for this.
Yep. And, but it was really fun. And like the entire camp was gathered around cheering for Kendra. And it was just, and I realized like, I've never seen you play.
Oh.
I've seen you coach a million times.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never seen you like
a different
actually
side
on
of
the
me
court.
That comes out.
Yes. And the whole time I was like, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. You're going to break something. Sit down. So anyways, that was really fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
That was fun. Yeah.
Let's see what else.
Oh, the second one that we have. Something beautiful.
Something beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of goes back to the same thing for me. The trip. We drove this year. Last year we flew. And we're not like great drivers like Kendra's family is. It took us a very long time to get there and to get home. And but we kind of made it like a pilgrimage on the way up there and on the way back. And on the way up there, we stopped at the St. Francesca Cabrini Shrine, which was just so powerful because my 14-year-old, again, has a devotion to her. And and the Lord was just really working in her heart this summer. It was really neat to see how much he captured her. She had gone on a camp, week-long Christian camp, and I think that really spurred things on for her. And then she kind of brought it back and solidified it with the Catholic teachings with us. And so that was really beautiful. And then we, on the way home, we were on our way to Chimayo, and we stopped. We were just driving, and Chad saw this sign that said, oldest Catholic church in Colorado. Oldest church, period.
Oh, wow.
In Colorado. And he was like, should we stop? Which Chad is not the kind of person that's like, hey, we should stop on the side.
Drive off course, right? Yeah.
Not him. He is such a structured. So I'm like, okay. So we stopped at this church, and it was called Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh, wow.
And and the church.
Which speaks a lot because that's.
Right.
That's Chad's lady.
Yeah. Like we're so in love with Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so we go in, and the church, of course, is beautiful and old and speaks to my heart in that way because I love a good old church.
Yeah.
And then we're walking out and over on the side, there's this wall and Ella goes, is that a Presidio? Like for the Alamo, like something, this is what it looked like. And I was like, well, I mean, it looked really old except for the front gate looked new. Like they had just built that. And so we start walking in there and we're like, what is this place? And it was like a rosary prayer, I guess kind of like a labyrinth, but a maze. And it was made out of adobe, and they were building it while we were there.
Wow.
And so we just like walk in thinking like this thing has been here for 100 years. And there's a man over there, and he's like, no, we're making the adobe right there. And they're like over there packing the adobe and making the bricks.
That's
and
amazing.
So they said, well, this half is already finished. You guys are welcome to walk through it. And Libby like walked and prayed a rosary all by herself, and Tessa and Eli walked all around, and like Tessa loved all the, like every time you would get to a stopping place, there would be a part of like a mystery of the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this really pretty bronze like art of each one. And
mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. And then we went to Chimayo, and Chimayo was unlike anything I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like we were in Mexico. So that's in New Mexico, kind of outside of Santa Fe. And everything there was just like vibrant and loud and all the things that I love. And there's healing dirt there. And
wow.
Yeah. So there's this amazing story about somebody was digging in the dirt and they found a crucifix.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh my goodness, there's a crucifix down here. And so they like called the priest and brought him over and, you know, prayed for, you know, like blessed the land and everything.
Yeah.
And then took the crucifix and put it inside a church. And then the next day it ended up back in the dirt.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were like, well, that was strange. So then they move it again and it does it again. And so they're finally like, okay, this is holy ground.
Wow.
And so that spot where they found this crucifix, they built uh-huh. churches around it. And then that is the place where the holy dirt is.
I love that so much.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Like,
yes.
Right here in America. Like, you hear those stories. Like, when I was in Mexico, those stories were a dime a dozen. Like,
right.
Everywhere you went, there was like an amazing miracle that happened here. So that was so cool to see that there. And so you kind of have to like go down around the back of the church, and it's kind of mm-hmm. undergroundish. And we're down there, and Livy, I prayed over Ella. And I mean, we have a lot of healing that needs to happen in our family
mm-hmm.
for obvious reasons. Like, there's lots of reasons, lots of medical stuff. And so I prayed over Ella and Livy, and then Chad and Tessa and Eli came down, and Livy prayed over Chad.
Wow.
And it was like maybe one of the most beautiful moments of my life. And you're not supposed to take pictures in there, but I was like, mm-hmm. I can't. Like,
yeah.
I can't not take a picture
yeah.
of this beautiful thing that's happening right now. So anyways, it was just like a really powerful moment for our family. And I was like, we need more of these kind of things.
Yeah.
I would love to have something like that, like in November or December, that like connects us on a faith-based level, you know,
yeah.
like a couple times a year
yeah.
to just like really connect.
Well, you experienced, I think, something that every parent desires. That is such an incredible, beautiful moment whenever you see your children embracing what the life yeah. that, like, the faith life that you've been living authentically, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to push it on our kids, but we live it unashamedly, right?
Yeah.
And then she goes and she, like, steps into that. Like,
yeah,
that's beautiful.
I know. It was really, really powerful.
Yeah.
And just watching her take ownership of her
mm-hmm.
faith and wanting more. And,
mm-hmm.
and like, she didn't want to leave when we were in the labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
We were all ready to go. We're just waiting on her, you know,
wow.
just having this, like, time. So, yeah, it was really powerful. And when she started praying, we were like, wow. I didn't know she could do that.
There's this interior life that
I mean,
you
she
don't,
was
you don't
like,
know about. Wow.
Like deliverance prayer over him. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
I was like, get it, Libby.
Go live.
But I guess, you know, she hears it from you and I both pretty often. So it was
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
The
wow,
other thing that's been
that's
really
helpful.
Neat is, have I told you how Tessa keeps asking me to pray for her?
No.
It's the sweetest thing you've ever seen. So she's been having nightmares, like really
oh.
bad nightmares. And Tessa's my 3-year-old. And one night I just started praying over her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, kind of deliverance, like renunciation, but also
yeah.
just like inviting the Lord to hold her and be near her. And so it was like a pretty powerful prayer. And she laid real still. And then she looked up at me and she goes, thank you, Mommy, for praying for me. And then the next day, Ella said, did you have a bad dream last night? And she goes, no, because Mommy prayed for me.
Oh,
that's sweet.
That's
and
beautiful.
So now every once in a while she'll go, Mommy, will you pray for me? And so then I do. And she loves it. She'll go, thank you so much. And then last night I was at a soccer game. We went to
yeah.
the Austin FC, like, professional soccer game.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, Chad and I went. And she was having bad dreams or a hard time going to sleep. So I like prayed for her over the phone.
Over the phone.
And there's like loud music and banging and all this stuff
yeah.
in the background. And then she went to sleep. But
oh
like
gosh.
Understanding the power of prayer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's powerful.
Isn't that cool?
That's beautiful.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, how long is this going to last? Like
yeah.
that you like really feel the depth of what's
yeah.
happening in this moment. Like, I pray
yeah.
that stays with her. So anyways,
yeah, that's really
right.
cool. That's really cool.
How about you? That was a lot.
That was really cool. So something beautiful that happened, it was just recently actually. And it was kind of this thing that, you know, when you look at your kids and you can see the light bulb go off, you know?
Yeah.
I remember that moment whenever we were homeschooling and one of them, like, reading finally clicked.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was such a fun thing to watch. Like, I had some moments like that with the kids this summer. And one of them just happened a few days ago. So the boys have this book called The Squire and the Scroll.
Oh, yeah.
And it is such a good book. It also goes along with the girls' version of The Princess and the Kiss. The Squire and the Scroll, it's this young boy who is tasked to go with an experienced knight on this quest to slay the dragon who has stolen the light from the kingdom and this sort of thing. And his parents give him this scroll, and it has all these different pieces, these layers to it, and it represents scripture, really. But in the end, it's about guarding the light, right? Like, cling to the truth, keep your eyes pure, all these different things. Mm-hmm. It's a really awesome book. And so we've been reading it to the boys for a very long time. And also with that, I have girls, two of them of which, sorry, men, if you're listening, which I don't know if we have any men that listen, but who are teenage girls, and they have their cycle. And so there's feminine products around our house, right? And so there was one moment where one of my boys kind of embarrassed one of the girls for that. And I pulled him aside and I had this moment with him and I was like, you know, what they have is a gift. It's a sign of their fertility. And our world wants to bring shame upon it. Mm. But your job is to guard that. It's kind of like, and I told him, I was like, it's like the squire and the scroll, to guard and protect and uplift their fertility, right? This thing that they, this gift that they have. And whenever I connected it to the book, he had this aha moment and it was really cool. He's like, oh, okay. And he just walked away. It's like, he got it. It was so awesome. It was so fun.
That's cool.
So just those little glimpses with our kids of like, okay, God, you planted that in our life. Mm. And I really, it wasn't me. I really feel like it was the Holy Spirit. Just
yeah.
Kind of tying those two things together and not bringing shame over a woman's
cool.
fertility.
Good for you for so being able really to incorporate cool. all that and like invite him into that. That's
really
pretty
cool.
deep.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's really cool.
So
good for you. Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Let's see. What else? Something that was hard.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that one or do you? Me?
You go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hard good, not hard bad, but we've definitely been going through a lot of discernment this summer. And I realized I posted about it like with my own personal Facebook page. And I got several messages from friends asking me about how do you discern?
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was funny because we talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a big topic of conversation for us. But it's still really complicated, like, and hard for people to understand. So it's just been kind of like swirling around in my mind a lot this summer. But my girls have left the school that we've been a part of. Well, Eli was already gone, but the girls mm-hmm. now have left the school that we've been a part of for a really long time. And I didn't see that coming in our future at all. And they left for different reasons. One of them left because friendships had gotten really complicated and hard, and she just wanted to try something new. And the other one left because she is a big theater kid and loves theater. And it's definitely like a gift that God's given her, and she needs to be able to flourish in that somewhere else. But neither one of them left because of like they just had this reason. Like, they both really felt called to this big scary world of public school.
Mm-hmm.
And felt like with both of them, my immediate thought, my immediate reaction, so they discerned at different times. So I had already agreed that one was going to go, and then the other one followed suit like 2 months later. But with both of them, there was a lot of fear for me. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it was a lot of like letting go of something that I held on to maybe too tight, a lot of like almost dying to some dreams that I mm-hmm. had, friendship wise, and then just also some like perceptions that I'd held on to almost in a prideful kind of way, mm-hmm. of like, oh, my kids don't go to public school, because
mm-hmm.
I'm that kind of Catholic that my kids don't go to public school.
Yeah.
And that sounds terrible, but I think there's a lot of us that feel that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're only a really good Catholic if your kids don't go to public school. And it's funny because since then I've actually heard lots of Catholics say those words.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah. In person, one of them said it, somebody said it to Chad, didn't know that we had discerned that our kids were going to leave that school. I've also seen it just, you know, on the internet and other places like that, that like, what a terrible decision you're making for your children. So I just kind of, the reason I wanted to talk about it today though, is because like, we're not all called to the same thing.
Right.
And what a shame it would have been for me to have stayed somewhere that God was not calling us to just because I needed to hold on to what the world says is right for Catholic kids, you know? And we really felt like once I kind of worked through some of that and really had to like offer those things to the Lord of like, this is something I'm holding on to. And it, you know, it takes you a while to even get to that point to realize.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, to even know that that barrier exists.
Scales have to fall. In a way, right.
And there were some scales that fell and I was like, oh, that's why this is so hard for me. Until after that happened, then I saw this like beauty. And it wasn't even like we were just running away from something or we were making a decision because we didn't have any other choice. It was like, God has something powerful in store for them there. And first it was just Livy. And I was like, I just feel like Livy is supposed to be here. And then, and Ella had decided she was going to stay. She had amazing best friends at our old school and didn't want to leave them. And I totally was like, hey, you do what you need to do. And then as the summer progressed, it was starting to become clear that maybe she was being called away too. And she told me, she goes, well, you know, like 3 weeks ago when I was at the Steubenville conference, God kept telling me he needed me to go to public school. And I said, no. And then he said it again. And then I said, no again. And we went back and forth like four or five times. And then I never thought about it again. I was like, well, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
This whole time we were like discerning this process. You never once brought that up. And she was like, yeah. I think I was having a hard time like coming to terms with it. But there's like this promise there of even though it seems crazy. And when I say we go to a public school, our school is 4,000 students.
Okay. So
it is the biggest.
Coming from a school of 40 in their each class.
Yeah. 40 in each grade to 1,000 in each grade. It is one of the biggest schools in Texas, which is probably means one of the biggest schools in the nation, right? Because everything's bigger in Texas. I don't know. Other places have school size that we have. It's crazy. So it is literally one of the, like, it's like a college campus. It's and everywhere they go, they have to walk outside from one building to the next. And it's crazy big. And they didn't go to middle school with these kids and they didn't grow up with a lot. They know some from like kindergarten, but you know, it's been a while. So there was just a huge, it was walking into a scary world. And not to mention the fact that like, I'm constantly being told all these horror stories. I'm like, okay, just word of advice. If you have a friend who's about to send their kids to public school, don't tell them every terrible story you've ever heard about public school. Okay. Maybe a bad idea. You should have heard some of the things that I was
really?
Like, yes, like the day before school started. Yeah. Some people told me some terrible things and I'm like, okay, I quit. I'm
what? Sorry.
I can't say them on the podcast.
No, don't say them. But what was their motivation to tell? Are they trying to scare you out of your decision?
No, these were like two of my closest friends.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. But I was like, but I think it was almost like they were like, well, the school you're going to is good, but I've heard all this bad stuff about these other schools. And I'm like, well, you're not
That's
helping
comforting.
Me at all.
Thank you.
So anyways, it turns out those things don't happen at our school, or at least not yet anyways. But I also had to just really be cognizant of like, yeah, I am sending them into a world that's different than anything they've ever known. And the Lord says they're ready.
Yeah.
And if he says they're ready, then I have to step into that and I have to believe him and I have to trust him that he's not going to just drop them once they get there, that if he's calling them there, they're there for a purpose. And, so we were excited. But the very first day when I dropped them off at school, they, you know, were walking away and I was like, what have I done? Like, this is the worst idea I've ever had in my whole life. And there's been several moments since we made this decision where we've wanted to like run like crazy. But we have to like remember that God has called us to this, right? And so just like going back to discernment, I walked through with a couple of friends like how we came to this place. And the girls for the most part discerned it on their own because we had taught them how to hear the voice of God, right? Which is powerful. And I had my own discernment that matched up with theirs, right? Like I wouldn't just let them make a decision that I didn't fully feel like God was calling us to. as well. But it's been really powerful for them, because when we have those moments of wanting to run like crazy and be terrified, we can go, no, like, this is where you're called.
Yeah.
And it gives them something to hold on to. So I don't know. It's hard. It's challenging.
Yeah.
It's good. I think the takeaways that I have, like, for me and for anybody listening, is like, don't ever say never. Like, people ask me questions now of like, well, do you think you'll do this someday? And I'm like, you know what? I just don't know.
No,
I don't know where God's going to lead us.
Right.
And I don't want to put any barriers or barricades on what he might be calling us into.
Right.
And I just want to be literally open-handed with my life, like, as much as I possibly can, of like, I'm going to go where you call me to.
Yeah.
And I think there was a time there where I was trying to hold on to things and say, no, I got this figured out. This is how we're going to live our life, you know? Because I think we miss out.
Yeah.
If we do that.
Well, there's something important that you said, as we're going on a little tangent of discernment, that's important. Yeah. You know, St. Ignatius says to don't make decisions in desolation. And the key part that stood out to me of as you're telling your story is that y'all were called to something.
Yeah.
It's not that. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And anytime there's a change or a shift or something like that, like, look for what God is calling you to. It might be to stay.
Yeah.
Right. But it might not be.
Right.
But to discern that. Right.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
And there was a lot of joy and excitement in it too. Like, it was fear, but it was like all the emotions kind of rolled into one. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have those natural human emotions. But,
yeah. But there was definitely like, we were being called to something. Mm-hmm. But since then, I have dropped them off at countless places where they know no one. They're
so brave.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, Libby asked me yesterday, hey, can you pick me up later? I'm just going to go to the volleyball game. And I was like, okay. So she sat and watched the volleyball game all by herself.
Wow.
Like, her bravery has been.
Yeah.
I've seen so much change and growth in her since we made this decision.
Yeah.
And here's another thing that y'all might think I'm nuts, and that's fine. I really feel like what the Lord has put on my heart is that part of their spiritual growth meant that we had to step out of our Catholic bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems counterintuitive, right? Like, keep them around the people that like believe the same things they believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I really felt like he was saying, I need them to come out and experience more of the world so that they can choose me.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah. And so that they can find the kids at the school who aren't just Christian or Catholic because their parents tell them to be, but like, they want it so bad. And they are pursuing me with their whole hearts. And they haven't fully found those kids yet, but I still believe that that's in the works for them. And that's what they desire. Like, they really want to find those kids who are running hard towards the Lord. And so I think they will.
That's awesome.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
So
that's really cool.
Yeah. Anyways.
It's empowering to let your kids be a part of the discernment.
Right.
Because they can do it. They can do it. Philomena had kind of a similar discernment moment this summer. And before I dropped her off at a summer camp, I was like, you discern and I'll discern. And then whenever I picked her out, Lord had placed the same thing on both of our hearts.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
That's cool. And
they can do it.
Her discernment really was kind of like eye-opening for me too, that like our kids could discern. You know, like watching her go through that process, I was like, okay, I think ours can too.
Yeah.
And really Ella like discerned hers all by herself. And
yeah.
I was just very like at peace.
Right.
I was like, she'll come to the right decision. Like, there was not as much fear with her. I was like, okay, just whatever she feels called to, and then we're going to go with it kind of thing.
Well, the fact that she also said, you know, at the Super Bowl conference, I heard the Lord tell me he wants
she didn't tell me that.
Right, but you have done such a good job in teaching them how to hear the voice of God.
Yeah, I hope so.
Good job, Mama.
Sometimes I feel like it's not all like taking deep roots, but it's there.
Seeds,
right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the whole process.
Like, I don't think they hear the voice of God every day.
Right.
But I think they have at least gotten to the point where they know how to go to him when they need, they really need to. You know what I mean?
Their antenna is up.
Like, yeah. Oh,
okay, so that's what that feels like. That's what that sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the whole process.
Yeah, she told me, she hasn't been feeling very good lately. And she told me, you know how I know God loves me? I said, how? And she goes, because she's been eating, like, she has acid reflux, and there's this really, really yummy, chewable things that you can eat. They taste like Starburst.
Uh-huh.
She goes, because in the middle of the night, when I felt terrible the other day, I opened up the bottle and I couldn't see anything, and two pink chewies fell out. And I got to eat two pinks in a row. And I was like, that's just funny, because,
like, I love that so much.
So, but it, like, her antennas are up, right?
She's yeah.
like, God's taking care of me. Yes. And I was like, that's cute. I like it.
That's so sweet.
That's
so
how sweet. We need to live our lives, right? Like, every little thing is a gift from God.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that segues a bit into what God's teaching you right now.
Oh, yeah. That definitely. Discernment. I've been thinking about it a lot. Like,
yeah.
And and these friends asking me questions about like, well, how do I discern? And both of the friends who reached out to me are both, you know, devout Catholics who love Jesus, and they had discerned themselves in circles.
Interesting.
They had overly discerned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they had been so focused on the end answer and the outcome that they'd gotten lost in the process.
Interesting.
So
how did you walk them?
Yeah. So my advice to both of them was like, whatnot. Take a step back.
Yeah.
Lay it down. And instead of continuing to wait for an answer, because I would say both of our discernments happened pretty fast, within a week or two both times. Mm-hmm. And we're just called to take the next right step, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it may not be forever, but like, if I feel like the Lord's calling me into something, I'm going to take a step and I'm going to go. But I think we can have a tendency of continuing to discern and continuing to pray and waiting for some massive aha moment to happen that's going to be the, you know, confirmation of this discernment. And then that doesn't happen. And then we start to get fearful, and then we start to like second guess and backtrack and all the things. And and so I was like, you know what? Part of the discernment process is not just getting to the end answer, but it's to like putting your ear to the chest of the heart of God, like really hearing him, being with him. And he may not be ready for you to hear an answer right now. He might just want you to live here in the moment with him.
Yeah.
So I was like, stop asking for a little while. Because both of them were like, I ask him every single day, 5 times a day. I'm like, maybe stop asking him for a little while.
Yeah.
And just spend time with him and let him nurture your heart. Let him be there for you. And I don't know if either one of them have actually gotten an answer yet.
Yeah.
But they were both big life changing. Like, one was like, should I move across the country?
Wow.
And then the other one was like a school decision as well. But a heavy school decision. But yeah, I think that was what they needed in that moment, was just to be near to him. Mm-hmm. And then we just talked about like, you know, what does it sound like to hear him, and, you know, the fruits of, you know, what is the fruit of this? Is it joy? Is it peace? Is it worry? Is it fear?
Right.
You know, those kind of things.
Right. That's interesting, because it kind of segues for me into what God's teaching me, and it's like a whole slew of things are kind of piecing together. But, you know, the scripture that you and I think since the very beginning of our ministry have been turning towards and just keeps coming up is Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. And a couple of things with discernment and things that he's been teaching me. So this year is the last year that I have a preschooler.
Yeah.
And she'll be going to kindergarten next year. And so all of my kids will be in the same school. And so, you know, there's kind of this look into the future of like, what does my next chapter hold as far as career, go back to work, do I teach, whatever. Because financially it would be helpful to have a second income.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm calling this a year of my discernment. And it's interesting because like I can see how they can get into this cycle of asking and wanting the answer right away. But for me, since it's like a year of
discernment, you have a whole year of this,
right? Yeah. It's almost like, you know, whenever you shut down one of your senses and the others become more magnified.
Yeah.
It's not that I've shut down a sense, but it's more magnified in the I'm trying to pay attention to the movements of my heart and the inklings of my heart and what really brings me life.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten any answers by any means, but I'm seeing like how much ministry brings me life. And I'm seeing how much desire I have for, I want to say church reform. That's not what I mean whatsoever. But
revival.
Awakening and revival of the church, right?
Me too, girl.
On a parish level. And then, you know, trickle out from there. But also, I'm in the middle of volleyball season, and I have these incredible young people that I get to see every day, and I get so much life just from hearing about their life and pouring into their life and that sort of thing. And so it's just really neat. And then today, really good friend of mine, she's like my mentor, Mama Martha. She called me this morning, and I hadn't got to talk to her in a while. We've been trying to get together. And she was like, I can't believe I'm talking to you. And I was like, because we never catch each other on the phone. And she said, I know, and she always says that. She's like, I know why we haven't been able to get together yet. It's like, okay, tell me, because I love when she has that. And it's always something. But she was like, have you ever heard of the flame of love? And this is something that God opened me up to in April, the flame of love of Mary. And it's so beautiful, but it's kind of like a little bit new in a way. I mean, it's been around for a very long time, but it's just getting out there. And so God put it on her heart, like her opened her up to it. And I was like, shut up, are you serious? And so that's, you know, just a common thread, but that we're going to get together next week and talk through. But it just really allowed me to see, like, okay, like God gives us each day, like his joy comes in the morning. God gives us each day to wake up and to experience things and to be with our family and to love on our children and smile at the people at the grocery store and just to bless people. And we can get so wrapped up in the doing when in reality, he just wants us to be, and he just wants us to delight in his creation, and he wants us to delight in the people he's put around us. And yeah, also delight in the hard, because it's those moments in the hard where you are like thirsting to place your ear and your whole being at the heart of Jesus's chest and just rest there, and where you feel like absolute consolation and love and those sorts of things. And so, it's just this woven tapestry that sometimes we don't get to see the finished product or anything, but there's always a string weaving through somewhere that's happening that you can't see.
Yeah. Like I've heard, young adults talking about like people who over discern vocations even, and they're so focused on doing what God's called them to that they end up like losing themselves kind of. And like discernment isn't about the answer. It's about the Lord, right? It's about accessing him in the process. Like it's not about getting to the end. It's about like being on that journey and like being still, like you said, like that's, that's, especially if you're going to discern for an entire year, right? Like you can't, you make yourself crazy if you're like every day I want to answer, I want to answer, I want to answer.
Yeah.
But just being still and letting him love you in this place is like the best place you can be.
Yeah.
There's a church in our area who's doing a whole year of discernment for their whole parish. And they're just like praying and pouring their hearts out to the Lord and just letting, like asking the Holy Spirit to just pour down on their parish. And I can't wait to see the fruits that are going to come out of that. Oh,
I
know.
Yeah. I remember whenever we were sitting with in a meeting with the pastor of that parish, and you had this prophetic vision of that church being a city on a hill, a light on a hill. And you can see
it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah. That was before they announced that year of discernment, wasn't it? Yeah, it's coming. But what a powerful thing to say for an entire year. I'm just going to pour my heart out to the Lord and listen and be still and let him love me.
Yeah.
Like that's powerful. Like things will change at the end of that. I'm excited to see where God calls you.
Me too. We'll see. He's working. So next question. What are you excited about right now, Megan?
I am excited about revival. How many times have I said those words? I just, like you said, did I just kick you?
Yeah. I got long legs.
I'm excited about revival at like a national level, Eucharistic revival. I'm excited about parish revival, like you just said. I'm excited about individual revival, families being revived. Like I just really feel like the Spirit is doing something amazing in the church right now. And the Eucharistic Congress that's coming in July. Is it Indianapolis? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're predicting 80,000 Catholics will meet there together. And it's at like a football stadium.
I think so.
Big, I don't know. Colts, right? Lucas Oil Stadium, I think. And And
it looks amazing on the website.
It looks amazing.
And
I can't stop thinking about it, because what Bishop Cousins said is this is not just a program. Like our goal is not to put all these people together just to come together for one day. He said this is a spark that's going to light a fire that's going to spread across the nation of revival. And I was like, yes. I mean, that's what I want every single thing we're doing to be.
Yeah.
A spark that lights a fire that spreads revival. And I think it's so fun for me because this has been on our hearts for years, long before the bishops ever started talking about it. And it's just neat to see it's coming. And they have a whole family track that they have for teens and for kids. I just keep thinking, though, like, I don't think Chad can handle being in the same place with 80,000 people. I mean, we went to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
There was 10 million over him, there. Right? I know. And that was the day before her feast day, too. So they were, right?
And on her feast day.
And on her feast day.
Yeah. We were there both days, but somehow we missed like the 10 million people. I don't know how many million we actually saw. But
discern if your family is meant to go. God will cover it. I know. So I'm trying to convince Chris. I want our whole crew to go bad, too.
Yeah.
So
I really, really, so really amazing. Feel called that I'm supposed to be there. So I don't know. We'll see. Not sure how it's going to happen, but
yeah, the thread is being woven.
I hope
it's happening.
Yeah, It just sounds so cool. So what are you excited about?
Right now it's volleyball season. I'm just having so much fun. So I, one of the women that had a team with me, so I run the volleyball program at our school. But one of the women that coached one of the teams, she moved away, and she was so good at, like bringing the different grades together and teams together. Mm-hmm. And she loves so intentionally. Like just has a beautiful heart. And so since she's gone, there's this void. And so, mm-hmm. you know, some of the girls are like, are we doing this? Are we doing buddies? All this stuff. And I was like, yes, those things were good, but who's going to do them?
Yeah.
Well, I guess me. So I started to pick up these things, and it's been so fun just seeing the girls excited. So we paired up the varsity with the A team and the JV with the B team in middle school. But they got to meet each other yesterday, and it's just so fun seeing the joy and excitement and who their buddy was. And it's so funny because as I was talking to them, I was like, I really want you to journey alongside one another and check in on each other in the hallways and ask how you can. And then I paused and was like, I wanted to say pray for each other, but I couldn't say that, you know. Well, I guess I could have, I guess. But I'm just so used to that in a ministerial setting. But I'm really loving just hanging out, especially with my team, especially. Just these girls, they're just funny, and they have real life heavy problems that are just some of it is just unimaginable. But I get to journey with them through those things, and they trust me. And I just want to be an anchor in their life that's like, I'm for you no matter what. Like, we're here together. Mm-hmm. So that's just, it excites me every day.
That's awesome. Yeah. Being a coach is like such a huge impact. Well, it could go either way, right? Like, you could be this amazing positive influence, or you could like really hurt someone forever.
Oh gosh,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But for them to have you is such a gift. Like, thanks. You're so good at inviting them into like thinking about their own hearts and their lives and how they live and how they love one another and where the Lord's moving. Even though it's public school, you do a good job of still like inviting them into some of those things and saying it in the right way that makes it okay. And it's beautiful.
The other day, we were talking about humility because, you know, in matches you can get to where like, if the ball drops, like that was your ball or whatever. Yeah. And so we had a little powwow, and I was like, I wrote on the board, I said, don't call out the splinter in someone else's eye if you have a log on your own. And then I just wrote gospels. That's it. Because, you know, as a school, we study the Gospel of John.
It's one of
the textbooks. It is one of the textbooks. So I kind of dropped that one on them. It was funny. They know where I stand. They know my heart, you know.
Well, and all the kids pretty much
it's fine.
Believe too. So
it's fine.
That's good.
So
awesome. Well, we're also really excited about
We
have an event coming up. So we are putting on a full day women's retreat at St. Patrick in Hutto, Texas, which is the church that we were talking about that is just running hard after the Lord. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what God does during this retreat. We were invited in by their pastor, and he, you know, opened it up to anybody. So all of y'all are able to come if you'd like to. And
we already have 109 women signed up.
Yeah.
And we want, God wants more.
Totally. And
yeah.
And I just feel an expectancy over this that I haven't felt in a long time. Like, there will be powerful movements of the Holy Spirit. Like, people will encounter Jesus at this retreat.
Yeah.
And we're saying, we're expecting every single person to encounter Jesus. Like, if you come in with an open heart, he will meet you there.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah.
Like, because that's all he desires, is to meet you in that place.
Right.
If he called you there, he's going to meet you there. He's not just going to talk to the person next to you. Like, it's for you too.
Yeah. So September 16th.
Yes.
Draw near.
From 9 to 4.
9 to 4. You'll have food.
Yeah.
And fun shenanigans.
And we have
so much fun. I'm so excited.
The best shenanigans planned. Like, this may go down in history as either the best idea I've ever had.
Yes.
Or the worst idea I've ever had.
We'll see.
And the jury is still out on this.
We'll find out at 5 p.m. on September 16th.
Yes.
It's going to be so much fun. And that's Megan's birthday, you guys. So come and wish her a happy birthday. Give her a big hug.
So we're having a big old party.
When we first were asked to do this and we were coming up with a date, she threw that out there. And I was like, but that's your birthday. Is that how you want to spend your birthday? And she's like, of course it is. Like,
that's all I've ever dreamed of, is to like be with my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, and ministry.
And Yeah. And then having a party at the end.
Yeah. So, yeah. We are. On. Here we go.
So we're going to go deep. It's going to be a day of deep worship, but we're also going to have so much fun. Yeah. And we're really focusing on encounter with Jesus and encounter with each other and creating community and people that you can journey with after this retreat. That's one thing that we've really been focusing on more lately is what happens after one of these retreats. Mm-hmm. It's not just a one day thing. And where do we go from here? So
yeah,
I'm going to try to do more of that too. So
yeah,
it's going to be fun. So you can register on our website. It's hisbelovedoftexas.com and it's $40, but we'll put all that in the show notes so you have it for later.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's fun.
Come join us. It'll be great. Yeah.
And we're also, we have a couple other things going on too. We're also speaking in College Station.
Brian.
Yes. Thank you.
If you go to College Station, you go to Brian pretty much.
Yeah. St. Joseph's and Brian on October 7th. And that's an all-day mom's retreat, and that'll be a lot of fun. It's called Restore. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And then I'm also speaking in November, on November 4th, to a mom's retreat in McKinney, Texas.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun. We're excited because we've been to Frisco a couple times.
Yeah.
And the moms up there are amazing. And McKinney's just next to Frisco. So yeah. Some of the same moms.
They're all on fire.
Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, yeah. It's really beautiful the way the church is alive and active.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. Well, that was fun catching up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun. All right. And the next week we have a really fun guest for you.
Yes.
Ryan O'Hara from the Better Preach podcast. So come back next week.
Yeah. Thanks for spending your time with us.
Yeah. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we would absolutely love it if you would share it with a friend. We feel like God has put a mission on our hearts to point people to Jesus and to have hard conversations about prayer and about life and about faith and what it means to really step into allowing the Lord to guide your life. And we want other people to hear that. We don't care if they hear Kendra and I, we want them to hear Jesus. So if you wouldn't mind partnering with us and sharing this podcast with others and helping spread the mission that God has given us, we would absolutely love it. You can share on Instagram or Facebook. You can send it to a friend. You can like and review on any podcast app that you listen to. That always helps people find it. All right, guys, I hope you have a beautiful week and we'll see you next week.